stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into episode 27 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you did not already join the South Harmon Patreon, you need to go and do that. Go to patreon.com/South Harmon, and you get access to talking to me and all the other content creators at South Harmon. All you need to do is go sign up for $1 a month, and you can get in at the supporter tier. If you find that you enjoy talking to us and you want access to more of our things, you want access to rankings, data, things like that, or even just to talk with some of the other great South Harmon community members, you can always go through and start upping that. But go in, try it out for $1 a month. If you don't like it, that's fine. But it's so easy. All you need to do is get your foot in the door, and you'll find that you are surrounded by tons of people that love the fantasy space as much as you do. Also, if you haven't checked out our sponsor, Manscaped, you need to go and do that. At Manscaped, if you use the code SHFF20, you can get 20% off of all of Manscaped's products. Anything that you want. If you even need to just restock on any of your grooming supplies, just go there, SHFF20, to get 20% off. This week is the beginning of bye weeks in the NFL. So at week 5, we begin where, for the next 10 weeks of the season, we're going to have various numbers of teams on bye. We'll have 2 weeks in the middle where there are no teams on bye. But this week, we have the Detroit Lions, Los Angeles Chargers, Philadelphia Eagles, and Tennessee Titans all on bye. So every single one of those players is missing from your lineups. If you play the strategy that I play and that some other smart people play, where you are having players on your team, and if you're rebuilding, you're trying to sell them for spot starts, or potentially you're trying to buy players for spot starts, I'm trying to figure out, okay, my rebuilding teams. Everyone knows on your competing teams, you've accumulated those extra seconds and thirds and whatnot, so that way you can go and get those players that are going to be useful for you for multiple bye weeks, or you spend a third to get that one random guy who's going to help you out this week and then isn't going to hit your lineup ever again unless you're basically out of the playoffs. You always need that partner who's on the flip side that's willing to sell for those prices. And so in a lot of my leagues, I'm in them with a bunch of the South Harmon community. I'm in them with a bunch of other people that play by these strategies. I've kind of built my teams around, hey, I'm going to try and sell these players when those spot starts become necessary. And so what I have done is I've built my teams where I want to be able to sell for those thirds when bye weeks come. And now we're here. So what I wanted to do was investigate, was this actually the right strategy? Does it make sense that I have been rostering these players for these potential one-for-one, hey, I trade this player for a third, and then they're gone off my team, I don't need to worry about them anymore. And the way I'm going to do this is by looking at 2023's data. Of course, I probably should have looked at it before now just to confirm, hey, this is the way I want to play, but better late than never. So let's dig into it and let's see, okay, what does it look like when we're looking at one pick for one player trades over the course of the season? So in 2023, the numbers are actually kind of interesting. My hypothesis was that I was going to see a spike in the players being bought in the weeks that we had buys, because that's the easiest way to be like, oh man, I need to go and get somebody. When you hit the first bye week at week 5, you're like, man, I've got this hole in my lineup where the guy on my bench, he's projected to score a whole 4 points. I should probably go out and buy that spot start running back who's projected to get 9. And you can build your team around, all right, I just need to do this. And so you just know, hey, it's coming up. And I would expect a lot of other people that think their team is competing that they would do a similar thing. However, I found that we are actually much better at building our teams than we thought. So in our leagues, which have no trade deadlines, and the reason I did no trade deadlines is because the most common trade deadline is week 12. So you end up seeing a lot of trades happening weeks 9, 10, and 11 that kind of throw off the data. And then you saw buys week 12, 13, 14. So I just decided that I'm going to use leagues that don't have a trade deadline. So no trade deadline leagues. You have week 5 be just about the same number as the previous 4 weeks in terms of 1-for-1 pick to player trades. And those numbers are for week 1 in the lead up to it, you have 3,500 trades. Week 2 is 3,044. Week 3 is 3,275. Week 4 is 2,916. And week 5 was 3,258. So all those numbers, they sound pretty similar. Week 1 was the most, so people right before week 1 go, oh man, I need to get some points on this team, and so they go and trade for him. And then week 5 is not even higher than week 3. So you don't see a giant push from managers that are like, oh, I need to get these players onto my team. So week 6 is when we get a new high outside of week 1. We get 3,433 trades. And this one was kind of interesting because last year in 2023, week 5 had 4 teams on bye. Those teams were the Browns, Chargers, Seahawks, and Buccaneers. So teams that we probably weren't relying a ton on to score, to like be complete backbones of our teams, where like all those teams on bye was going to be super detrimental. In week 6, it was the Packers and the Steelers. But week 6 had a greater number of these 1-for-1 trades than in week 5. My guess is this has to do something with the philosophy of teams, where you hit week 5, you're like, oh, you've kind of been lulling yourself into this sense of, oh, I just need to get to the bye weeks, my depth is going to hold out, and I'm going to do better. And then after week 5, you're like, man, my depth did not hold up. I still lost in this first bye week. I just need to get rid of some players ASAP. And so that's when you start seeing some people selling players and you see those 1-for-1 trades. That's my best guess. But in general, it's not too far out of just the normal range. And then Week 7 was last year's bipocalypse. We had the Panthers, Bengals, Cowboys, Texans, Jets, and Titans all on bye in 1 week. So that's 6 teams in 1 week. And you would expect, hey, with so many teams on bye, week 7 has to be up there with weeks 5 and 6. And it's actually lower than both. In fact, it's even lower than week 3. The only weeks it's higher than are weeks 2 and 4. And that was the week that tons of teams are on bye. Those teams that you would think are out there trying to buy those spot starts, they weren't doing that. Then week 8, you have no teams on bye. And so you see a new record low minus week 4. Week 4 still had the fewest trades out of any week that were in terms of 1-for-1 pick for player. Then you get to week 9. Week 9, we see a huge spike. All of a sudden, you have a week where you have the Broncos, Lions, Jaguars, and 49ers on bye. Now, if you think back to last year, the Broncos weren't a team that you were really relying on too many players for. But the Lions, Jaguars, and 49ers, they had a lot of players that you had on your team that you were relying on to be in your lineup. And so My guess is week 9 is where we started to see, hey, some people are trying to fill in those spots in their lineup. And also by week 9 is when a lot of people are comfortable saying, yes, I'm truly not going to make playoffs, or I truly am going to make playoffs. And you start the push in. You start to say, I'm going to take my picks. I'm going to go ahead and invest them into trying to score more points on my team. And so we have a high of 4,033 trades. That is a 33% increase from our general average of slightly over 3,000. And that's kind of where we start to see, okay, some of these teams that were rostering these players, that's when you can get away with selling them for the simple, hey, just give me a third. And you see that with some of the other data that I accumulated, which is how about when only third round picks were traded? When it's just a single third round pick for another player. Those numbers are accumulate a total of 2/3 of all of these one-for-one player trades. It's just a single third for another player. That number tends to be about 1,000 less than the total number, like one for one. So if it was like a first for a player or a second for a player, that combination was about 1,000. And then the other 2,000 to 2,500 were all just a third for a player. So we're seeing those thirds get traded around a lot. But what we're seeing is that week 9 is when it explodes. Almost all of that extra 1,000 in terms of what we were looking at in it overall comes from these third round picks being traded. In week 11, almost all of the extra 1,000 that's there, which is the high point of the entire season, comes from third round only picks. In the middle, we have week 10. Which week 10 still had 4 teams on bye, just like in weeks 9 and 11, but it's much fewer overall trades. And those weeks, it's the Chiefs, Rams, Dolphins, and Eagles. And so I'm not exactly sure why it was that in week 10 it was down so much. My only guess is that those in week 9 was when you had a bunch of people starting to make that push in. And we've seen that in the past when we look at the overall trade data. Week 9 is about when things start to explode. And then week 10, those teams were ones that people didn't want to trade for. Not that week. Not when the players are already on bye. And so it kind of was a little depressed. And then week 11 was Falcons, Colts, Patriots, Saints. Those were teams that we didn't have too many players on that were of high interest. If you think back to last year, the Falcons had a really bad quarterback. The Colts, they were having Gardner Minshew. They were basically set, but obviously he's not supporting a large cast. The Patriots weren't doing very well, and the Saints were okay. So my guess is that in week 10, it was, we have these good teams, the Chiefs, Rams, Dolphins, and Eagles, that we have a bunch of players on. But we already filled those spots in week 9. We already got who we needed. And so we're just going to ride those players. And then in week 11, now we start trading for those guys again. We're going to start making those one-for-one pick-to-player changes. And we're going to start rostering them on our teams. And then in week 12, now we see a new low of the entire season. And this is in leagues that have no trade deadline. We see a low in trades in week 12, and same with week 13, and same in week 14. Now, week 13 and 14 are higher than week 12, but they're still lower than the previous low of week 4. So what we're seeing is that even in leagues that don't have a trade deadline, we are seeing the effects of leagues that do have a trade deadline. If you remember back when I was talking about league settings, the number of leagues that have a trade deadline of week 12 was overwhelmingly the most. And that week 12 percolates itself into leagues that don't have trade deadlines. we see weeks 9, 10, and 11 when you're making those last dashes to try and get players onto your team in those leagues that have a trade deadline of week 12. Well, people are looking at their leagues with no trade deadlines and continuing to trade in them at the same frequency. And then weeks 12, 13, 14, when those trade deadlines have passed, they aren't looking as hard. They've already done what they need to do in their no trade deadline leagues. And so this is a spot where I think a savvy manager can potentially get some value. So weeks 9, 10, and 11 are the weeks that most of the trading is going to be done. If you're in a safe spot, if you don't need to make trades in order to try and push yourself over the edge, whether it's trying to make playoffs, whether it's trying to really fight for that one or two seed, like if you've kind of got it mostly on lockdown, if you can wait until that 12, 13, 14, especially if you can wait till like that week 15, you are now in a position to, you have that extra capital, you have the extra value to then grab them off of these teams that tried to make that dash and failed. We're going to see a bunch of those teams weeks 9, 10, and 11. They're going to be like, oh, I need to do this and I'll make playoffs. And they're going to make that trade and it's not going to go well and they're going to miss it. In the leagues that have the trade deadlines in week 12, there's nothing you can do to take advantage of that. Unless if you sold those players to them and you just got lucky that you got a good price. But if you are somebody that's competing, you can play against that by waiting until week 12, week 13, week 14. Because even though you don't get as much value out of the regular season portion, if you don't need that regular season value, if your team's already set, you're just looking forward to playoffs. And so you can take advantage of the fact that these other teams that tried to push in and failed, now you can get those players off of them. You can bail them out in order to bolster your team against all the rest of your league mates. So what have I looked at with this data? I've kind of spat some numbers, I've talked through a story of a season. The main thing that I'm looking at is the power of trading single thirds for players. It's not something as a rebuilder that I'm going to focus as much on. I'm not going to do as much of a, hey, I'm going to, it's something that I have done this past year is in all my lineup leagues, I've gone overboard in the quarterbacks. There's one league where I have like 17 of the 32 backup quarterbacks in the NFL on my team. And it's really obvious what I'm doing. I'm just holding them all and hoping that, you know, starters get hurt and I can trade these guys for thirds. And while that's fine from a value accumulation standpoint, because the bench size in that league is not too great, I think we only roster like 28 players total or something like that. Like, my team's pretty bare at every other position. And what I really needed to do in that league, and what I'm realizing now I need to do better in the offseason, is be more speculative at other positions. Yeah, I'm tanking for the 101, great. But once I get to that 101, I don't currently have all the draft capital that I need in order to really bolster my team and turn it all the way back around into a competitor the following year, or even being close to looking like it's a competitor. And so I need to take some shots at some other players at other positions. And then it also means when I get to this point in the season, I'm relying on quarterbacks, and I'm relying on somebody in my league needing a quarterback at that bye week that I can sell them. The answer might not be a quarterback. That team might be looking for a running back, they might be looking for a wide receiver, they might be looking for a tight end. And I've been passing on all of those in order to have these backup quarterbacks. So as a rebuilding team, I still need to be balanced. I was playing with the idea of, I don't need to be balanced. I can just focus on, hey, all these backup quarterbacks, they're all on my team. But rather than doing that, I need to have all the other positions. And I need to be willing to focus in on, hey, who do I think is going to take over a job? When this starter gets injured, Do I have that backup? Because those are the guys that I'm able to sell more consistently over the course of the season. Because we have a high floor. Every single week, we're seeing lots of players get traded for a single pick, especially round three picks. And that is mostly happening from the kinds of guys who just need to shift around from one manager to another because they're performing well enough. And then eventually they're just going to end up stuck somewhere because their value ran out. And I want to be in that market. I want to be constantly moving around from being able to take one player and turn them right back around. And I want to be the start of that chain. Think about the white elephant game, if you've ever played that around the holidays. What you have is one person goes up and they get to take a present from the table. And they take it and they sit down, they open it. Everyone sees what the present is. And then the next person gets the option to steal that present or go to the table. When you get all the way to the end, what you want is not the present that you want to own. You want the present that everyone else wants. Because that means that the last person is going to start the chain and your present is going to get stolen. But that means you now have the choice of every single gift that everyone brought. And that's what you have with the third. The third round pick is you can go and get it from everyone else. But in order to have that, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. If I have all my eggs in quarterbacks, well, only a certain person needs a quarterback. It's somebody who didn't plan for this situation where their quarterbacks got hurt, they weren't ready, and they're no longer able to do anything without having a quarterback on their team who happens to be on yours. But instead, if you have some invested in backup quarterbacks, like you have the really high-end ones, so you don't have your Josh Johnsons, you don't have your even like your Skylar Thompsons, and Tyler Huntley hasn't been doing that well. Like, if you look at, okay, how many points are those guys projected to score? Not really that many. Nobody wants those backups. But you have the high leverage ones. Malik Willis was one of those. If you can have Nick Mullins with how Sam Darnold's been doing. If you have Brandon Allen, because everyone likes the San Francisco quarterback. And things like that. Those are the ones you want to have. Those high value backups. And then you want to have some eggs in those running backs. You want to have a couple of those wide receiver darts. Look at the value that has come to all of these Rams wide receivers right now. If you had any of those on your team, you're going to be able to sell those to some other manager all throughout these bye weeks or potentially even before them. And so that's the kind of stuff that you need to be investing in. You need to spread yourself out among the multiple positions, recognize, hey, who's the higher leverage guys? Who has that path to playing rather than just what is that position next to them? You don't want just the quarterbacks and running backs. There's value to be found in, I have this wide receiver that, sure, they are nothing right now. And a great example for this, for me, is Jake Bobo. Jake Bobo's the number four wide receiver on the Seattle Seahawks. He is, right now, he's not going to do anything. But if any of those three wide receivers in front of him goes down, and God forbid if two of them go down, then all of a sudden he is in a great passing offense with tons of opportunity, and he's shown in the past he can handle that. And so that's the kind of player that I'm looking for. I want to try and get those guys. And that's how I'm going to try and build my team. So that way I am more able to take advantage of these other draft picks other managers have. So that's my main topic for this week. And I'm going to move on to the last two things. The first one being recap of positions rostered across fantasy leagues. So last week, we saw our average was 59 quarterbacks, 99 running backs, 135 wide receivers, and 53 tight ends. what we've seen is a lot of people have started to wake up, and we've seen all these numbers increase. Now, some of them are just rounding errors, so specifically quarterback and running back, it's gone up by 0.2 for each of them. But that took it from quarterback 59 to being at 60 and running back at 99 to being 100. But what we've also seen is that people are now starting to invest more into getting wide receivers and tight ends. We've seen two extra wide receivers. So we went from 135 to 137, and two extra tight ends from tight end 53 to tight end 55. So we're seeing people take more shots at these more gambly positions, the wide receivers and the tight ends. Part of that, I think, is that the tight ends did so bad last week. Like, the number of zeros that you had from tight ends that people know about was crazy. I looked at the top 50 the top 50 scoring tight ends, which were the only ones that scored points. And of those, you would have only expected to even start 30 of them. The remainder were just like random backups that like caught a pass or that nobody knew about beforehand and they caught four passes or whatever. Like those ones that you would not have predicted or started in your lineup. And when you look at the number of players that's like, oh yeah, we know who these guys are, man, it's just horrible at the tight end position. And so I think that's part of how the tight end position went up. And the wide receiver position is going up because of these injuries. When Rashee Rice went down, all of a sudden every other Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver you want to have now, because somebody has to catch the ball. And so that's where we're seeing those increases at the wide receiver and tight end position. And for the last segment, tight ends don't matter. Unfortunately, we got caught up by the tight ends just doing nothing last week. Tommy Tremble, he played 87% of snaps, which was awesome. And then he got zero targets. And that just sucks. Unfortunately, we decided to start him when we were against Cincinnati. And Cincinnati is a team that's particularly tough on the tight ends. But I was just hoping that Andy Dalton, kind of revenge game against Cincinnati there, he goes out, he balls, and Tommy Tremble's a beneficiary of it. That isn't what happened. He got all of his passes out to the wide receivers. And even Jatavion Sanders, he did end up catching two passes last week. But, all right, whatever. This week, after listening to the Waiver Wire pod, we only have the options of three players. We have Tommy Tremble, who we had last week, Nate Adkins, and Grant Calcaterra. Now, Grant Calcaterra's, he's just somebody that we're looking at in terms of, hey, we want to make sure we have the backup Eagles tight end. And Nate Adkins was somebody who, sure, he played a little bit more last week, but it was only a 40% snap share. He's just somebody that's been rising for the Broncos. So I'm going to roll back out Tommy Tremble again this week. I'm going to hope that with a better matchup that we're going to get some more points out of him. He's going against Chicago this week. They aren't as bad for tight ends compared to when you're against Cincinnati. So we'll have to see. And hopefully we see Tommy Tremble. He starts going up in terms of the number of catches, and hopefully we can start getting some touchdowns out of him too. So that's everything that I have for you this week. Feel free to reach out to me at Dynasty Koopa on X or at Koopa Troopa 8 on Discord and talk to me about anything that you've got questions on, anything that you're thinking about. Always remember to be out there and stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.